The following was recorded live from the sanctuary of Bethel Worship Center, Tuppers Plains, Ohio, reaching the world for Jesus Christ from Meigs County. Join us now and experience an exciting message from our pastor, Rob Barber.
Talking about with my message, I'm talking about seasons, and I believe as the church, I believe that that churches go through seasons, I believe the individuals go through seasons, I believe that nations go through seasons, and I'm not talking about you go through that season and you never go back. These are cycles that we go through in our life, and we better get used to it. You need to embrace the season that you're in. God has a purpose in that season. Our problem is many times we curse the season. When we talk about winter, some people hate winter, so they go around all the time just cursing that season, cursing that season. It makes you miserable. You don't want to be miserable. Embrace the season that you're in. Praise God. God has a purpose in that season. If you're in a winter time, recognize, just as I've been teaching, that it's a time of rest. It's a time of planning. It's a time of preparation. Use it for that. Recognize what it's for. And know that God has a purpose in His seasons for your life. He doesn't always create that season. Sometimes the seasons are created in our lives through our own ignorance, our own stupidity, through the enemy's attacks. But God always shows up in every season. Yes, yes. He has a purpose. Embrace that season. Praise God. One of the things that this weekend I was doing the devotion for our Upward basketball. And the devotion that I chose used Leviticus chapter 26, verse 8. And that scripture talks about if five people, and he was speaking directly to Israel and what's going to happen in their time of taking the promised land. And he said, five Jewish people united with God, doing God's work, five of them will chase 100 of the enemy away. Five will defeat 100. It may not look like five could defeat 100. It's not what the circumstance looks like. It's what God says will happen. Yes. That's right.
That's right.
Amen. So five of us, when we unite in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we'll chase off 100 of our enemies. And it's not about, you know, we're not talking about we're going to go out and, you know, find the people that are enemies. We have enemies. Most of us have enemies. If you don't have enemies, you're not doing anything. One thing I found out, that when you start doing something for God, you're going to have enemies. Hallelujah. People, you know, there's just enemies rise up. They rise up out of nowhere. And of course, Jesus Christ taught us not to hate our enemies, but to love them and do good to them. So our real enemy, we have to recognize we're not wrestling against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, rulers of darkness of this world. Our real enemy is Satan and his horde. That's our enemy. That's the enemy that we will send fleeing away in the name of Jesus Christ. Now that scripture goes on to say, this is incredible. It goes on to say, if 100 of us will unite, we'll chase 10,000. Of the enemy away. Glory. How many can handle chasing 10,000 of your enemies away? Glory. We're going to chase 10,000 enemies. That's what this is all about. Uniting. Coming together. Recognizing that we are united in a purpose to accomplish God's will here at Bethel Worship Center. And in your life. God has given us vision. He's given us goals. He's given us a direction. And it's not about our strategic planning. God, 2 years ago, we were at a conference and God spoke through a prophet and said, God has given you a strategic plan. And it's not going to be your strategic plan. It's going to be God's strategic plan. It's not going to be about sitting around a table and planning and preparing for the future. which is a good thing. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not opposed to that. I think we need to have plans and preparation. But he said God has a strategic plan. We just need to fit into that. A supernatural strategic plan for us. I believe that we are in a season in this church. I believe we're in a season of summer season. Well, I'm getting way ahead of myself this morning, but I'm just going to go with the flow.
Amen.
I believe that we are in a summer season right now. We've been in a season, spring, we were planting and planting, and I believe we're moving into a time of summer where fruit is beginning to ripen. You know, it's coming on, and it's time to tend the garden.
Amen.
And when you tend the garden, you have to take care of the fruit that's there, the things that you've already planted. It's too late to go back and plant now. Planting time's over. You just got to take care of what you've got. You got to nurture it. You got to weed it. You got to fertilize it if necessary. You got to water it sometimes. And I believe that's where we are right now as a church. We're in this place of taking care of the garden, discipling those who are here. Because the next phase is fall. And fall is harvest time. Hallelujah. We want a big harvest. A great harvest. In all things in our lives. I'm not just talking about people coming to Bethel Worship Center. I'm talking about in everything in your life. If you've been planting the way you were supposed to plant, you planted a seed in the spring the way it was supposed to be planted, and you're going to nurture it in the summer, when fall gets here, you're going to reap a bountiful harvest in your life. I'm looking forward to that harvest to come forth. I'm looking forward to us just doing what God has called us to do and to accomplish. Let me share a few scripture with you here. Hallelujah. Ecclesiastes, of course, 3:1 says, to everything there is a season, a time for every purpose. There is a time and there is a season. And we're going to embrace those seasons. We talked about that. And how important it is. I want you to understand something, that if you're in a winter season in your life, it can be a difficult time sometimes. You know, there more people become depressed during winter. Sometimes it has to do with a lack of sunshine. You know, this winter we haven't had that problem really, have we? But a winter time can be a very tough time for people. So we need to be careful that we do not allow the enemy to gain some strongholds in our life during our winter season. Because a winter season has good purpose, but we have to embrace that purpose. And here's something I want to leave you with to think about in regards to going through a time or a season that you're not really embracing. 65 times in the New Testament, it says this, and it came to pass. Not exactly in that context, but it says it came to pass. It will come, but it will pass. I want you to understand God's purpose in every season. So we're going to move on to the spring season in our life. A spiritual winter helps us to plan, prepare, rest, get ready, and put our trust completely and totally in our God. In spiritual spring, in Proverbs chapter 8, verse 12 says this, I, wisdom, dwell with prudence and find out knowledge of witty inventions. In the New Century Version, it says it like this, I am wisdom and I am smart. I also have knowledge and good sense. God will impart. When we ask for wisdom, He promises that He will give it to us. Anyone who asks for it, You can receive wisdom from God. And wisdom will impart to you. It will make you smarter. It will give you the ability to gain knowledge and to have good sense. Do you know the thing that we are lacking in our nation today? Is leaders with common sense, with good sense. I cannot understand some of the decisions that are being made through the leaders of our nation. And I'm not talking just about our president. I'm not talking about just individual people. I'm talking about overall in our governmental system. They're making decisions that do not make godly sense. And it's been that way for years. We can't blame President Obama. We've been making ignorant decisions because we've not been making godly decisions. Because we've not asked for God's wisdom. I'm going to share a little bit about David this morning. And David became a great leader in Israel. According to the Jewish people, the greatest king they ever had. Until they find out that Jesus is the Messiah. And then they'll realize he's the greatest king. But from their perspective, David was the greatest king Israel ever had. He rose up out of the sheep pen. That's what the scripture says. God took him from the sheep pen and he put him over his flock Israel. A man that was tending sheep in the wilderness, spending hours and hours alone worshiping God, was taken by God and placed in a leadership position over the people of Israel. Turn with me, 1 Samuel chapter 17. We're going to look clear over in verse 33. Now, of course, this is the end of the situation with Goliath. And David presents himself to the king and says, King, I can take on this giant. Verse 32, let's go there. Then David said to Saul, let no man's heart fail because of him. Your servant will go and fight with this Philistine. And Saul said to David, you are not able to go against the Philistine to fight with him, for you are a youth and he a man of war from his youth. Now, even when you're in a time, this is the end of the spring season for David, because David had been planting and planting and planting, sowing good seed up to this point. But you have to understand, no matter what season you are in, the enemy is going to send adversaries against you to discourage you. He's going to try to stop you. And Saul was supposed to be on David's side. He was the king. He was the king of Israel who wanted Goliath defeated. And instead of saying to David, yeah, go get him. You can do it. He said, now wait a minute, boy. You're not old enough. You're not seasoned enough. You're just a shepherd. And he is a man of war from the time of his youth. I don't know about you, but I've heard those things over and over and over in my life. And sometimes from godly people who meant well. Who meant to protect me. They thought they were going to protect me. Instead, they were trying to hold me back from doing what God wanted me to do. There's been many times, many ventures that God has led me into. I just get used to it now. I just expect it. When God says go do something, and I tell people God said to go do this, I expect somebody or several people to rise up and say, you can't do that. That's crazy. We can't afford that. That's not God. You haven't proven that. You haven't done that. You can't do that. People have tried that before and wasn't able to do it. Come on, these are the things you're going to hear when God speaks to you and tells you to do something. What you have to do, what you must do, no matter what season you are in, you must be absolutely convinced that your God is speaking to you to do something. Because if you're not, you're not only going to have people speaking against you and say you can't do it, you're going to see circumstances rise up that appear that you can't do it. Look what happened to David. Saul, here's the thing that Saul did. He put his armor on David. He gave him a sword. He gave him a spear. And Saul was a big man. According to Jewish standards of the height of that time, Saul was head above everyone else. So his armor was built for him. He put it on David. Can you imagine what that looked like? It'd be like me putting my jacket on Owen, my grandson, and him walking around in it. That would look a little ridiculous, wouldn't it? Thank God David had enough wisdom to realize. He said, I'm not proving these things. He said, I've not. What he was saying when he said, I'm not proving, I've not tried them, I've not tested them, I've not practiced with them. So what did he take? He took the thing that he had practiced with, the thing that he had proven, the thing that he had used, the thing that he had spent hours and hours and hours practicing with in the wilderness with those sheep as he watched those sheep. He took the thing that he could pick a fly off the back of one of those sheep from 30 yards because he had done it time after time after time. It's, you know, I'm not taking anything away from the miracle that took place when Goliath was defeated. But David sowed the proper seed. He practiced. He spent time with the Lord. He played his harp and sang to the Lord. I call it a harp. I don't think that's what it was. What was it, a lyre? Or do we know what it was? Like a harp? Yeah. Okay. It had strings. That's how much I know. It had strings. Thank you, Otis. We really got technical this morning with that. Praise God. Regardless, David sowed seed. You see, that was his springtime. He was in the spring when he was out tending his father's sheep, when he was taking care of them. Let's read a little bit more of this. Verse 34, but David said to Saul, your servant used to keep his father's sheep. And when a lion and a bear came and took a lamb out of the flock, I went out after it and struck it and delivered the lamb from its mouth. And when it rose against me, I caught it by its beard and struck and killed it. Woo! You see, God brought about a circumstance in David's life, allowed it to happen, whatever you want to say, so that David could prove his faithfulness. He was sowing seed at that time. And what happened, another version says that David said this. He said, when I was tending my father's sheep, a lion and a bear came and grabbed a lamb, had it in its mouth, and I went after it. And when I caught up with it, I took the lamb out of its mouth. And it turned on me. And when it turned on me, it was the worst thing it could have possibly done. Because I grabbed it by the jaw and I beat it to death with my club. What a man. Hallelujah. That was seed that was sown so that when Goliath showed up and the springtime was over for David and he started into his summer, David was ready to do what God wanted him to do. He was prepared. Be prepared. Take the springtime that you're in and sow seed. Now, when we talk about sowing seed, so many times the first thing that comes to our mind is money. And money is a seed, absolutely. You can sow money seed and reap harvest from it. I believe that with all my heart. But let's not just get caught up with money. You sow seed in everything that you do. You sow seed in relationships. You sow seed on the job. You sow seed in all kinds of things that you do in your life. Just about everything in your family, you're sowing proper seed or improper seed. You're sowing natural seed or hybrid seed. And don't sow hybrid seed, because it's no good. You need to be able to get a harvest so that you can replant that seed. And you keep replanting and replanting. David sowed the seed. And we need in this time of spring, wherever you are, if you happen to be in a spring in your life right now, sow seed. Take advantage of it. We've done the best we could do here at Bethel to sow seed during our spring. When we were in a spring season, we were sowing and we were sowing and we were sowing. We were doing, and it's incredible what God has done. He's brought all kinds of people into this congregation that are prepared, that's got us ready to continue to move forward into new areas and accomplish new things. Sow seed. Don't forget to sow seed in the springtime. Get it ready. The next thing I want to share with you is a summer, spiritual summer. 1 Samuel chapter 16. verses 1-10 through 13. Now the Lord said to Samuel, "How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from the reign over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go, and I'm sending you to Jesse the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons." And now let's jump over to verse 10. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, "The Lord has not chosen these." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Are all the young men here?" Then he said, "There remains yet the youngest, and there he is keeping the sheep." And Samuel said to Jesse, "Send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here." So he sent and brought him in. Now he was ready and with bright eyes and good looking. And the Lord said, "Arise, anoint him, for this is the one." Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of the brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. This is the beginning. Now, I told you when he was there taking on Goliath that he was moving into his spiritual summer. He was seeing some fruit start to come forth in his life for the things that he had sown in the spring. This is the beginning right here, really, of the summer. When Samuel came to him and anointed him, went through all his brothers. And these must have been mighty men, because when Samuel saw the first brother, he said, "Surely, this is the one." They must have been strong, good-looking, strapping young men. But God said, "Don't look at the exterior. Look at the heart. Because that's what I look at." And he took David, the youngest, the smallest, the least likely, the one who had been out in the wilderness sowing lots of seed, He took him and he anointed him with oil to become the king of Israel. This is a beginning of a summertime for David, where the fruit is beginning to bear. There's new fruit coming on in his life. He's going to be moving from his father's house to the palace. Lots of things are going to happen in his life from this point on. But there is some fruit that's taking place. And David, being a wise young man, tends that garden very, very well. He takes care of it. At one point, it says that David conducted himself better or more wisely than all those in Saul's army, because he had planted the proper seed, and now he was beginning to tend it and take care of it. In a summertime, we have to be careful. In a summer of our life, we must be concerned that we stay on course, that we do not allow the enemy to take us off course, that we don't allow the enemy to move us from the things that God, that we've planted originally, onto something that someone else has planted. In my own life, I got to tell you, as a pastor, there are times where I have to be very careful that I'm hearing what God wants to do rather than hearing what some person wants to do. And, you know, people have all kinds of great ideas and good things. But just because it's a great idea and a good thing doesn't mean that it's a God thing for Bethel Worship Center. So I had to be careful that I'm hearing from God in particular and doing what God wants Bethel Worship Center to do as Rob Barber, as the pastor. If someone else comes in here and pastors this church sometime in the future, I hope it's many years down the road. He may take it in a totally different direction because God's speaking something else to him. But we and you and I, as a body, we have to hear what God wants us to do. And individually, you have to hear what God wants you to do.
That's right.
So that you can be obedient to continue. When that fruit starts coming on, make sure you're tending the proper fruit, the proper vegetable, the proper whatever it is that you've planted. That you're taking care of the right garden. You know, sometimes we get out of the garden that we've planted and get clear over here in somebody else's garden. You know how easy it is to do that as a church? When you start looking around and you start seeing people that are successful in planting and growing churches, you know how easy it is as a pastor to start looking at that and say, well, that must be the thing. That must be the way. That must be the answer to draw people in. And if we're not careful, you know, I've done it, I admit it, I've gotten clear over in somebody else's garden, and I left our garden to decay and die. And thank God, most of the time, my God, being the God that he is, he slaps me in the head a couple of times and brings me back and says, wait a minute, boy, get back over here where you're supposed to be. Recognize who you are. I've not called you. I've not called you to be a Rick Warren church, you know. I've not called you to be a Rod Parsley church. I've not called you to be an Abba House. I've called you to be Bethel Worship Center. Be it and be the best you can be. Hallelujah. And he does that, and the enemy will do that individually in our lives. He'll take us. He tries to get you off track. He tries to move you. He may not move you completely out of the garden, but he'll take you over here to a plant that's not really producing the way it should. And you think, well, I got to spend all this. I got to get this plant to produce. And what God is really saying is spend time with those that are producing. Stay with the production. Glory. Does that make any sense?
Absolutely.
Hallelujah. Glory. Glory. Amen. Now let's talk a little bit about a spiritual fall. Turn back to Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes Ecclesiastes chapter 3, verse 2. It says this: there is a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck what is planted. Fall, of course, we all know that fall marks it's a transition from summer, and we're moving into winter. Nights get shorter, evenings get cooler. And sometimes, if we're not careful, we'll dread what's ahead. But God wants us to look at this and embrace it, because fall can be a time of great harvest if we'll embrace it and allow the harvest to come. Turn back to 1 Samuel chapter 18. Samuel chapter 18, beginning with verse 14 through 16. And here's the scripture that I was talking about. And David behaved wisely in all his ways, and the Lord was with him. Therefore, when Saul saw that he behaved very wisely, he was afraid of him. And all Israel and Judah loved David, because he went out and came in before them. Now, verse 30. Then the princes of the Philistines went out to war. And so it was, whenever they went out, that David behaved more wisely than all the servants of Saul, so that his name became highly esteemed. David had behaved wisely. And now David was moving into a time of reaping a harvest that he had sown and that he had taken care of by continuing to be wise before the Lord. David was never without enemies. He always had enemies. But God always rose up on the side of David, because David was a man after God's own heart. He worshiped God. He believed God. He trusted God. And even when he turned from God and did wrong, he came back and repented of his sin. I love that testimony of Roy Lee's this morning. That was, you made yourself vulnerable, Roy Lee, to this whole congregation. And I appreciate that. Because, yeah, you made a mistake. But you recognized that mistake, and you made it right with everybody that was involved. Everyone, including this congregation, will respect you, continue to respect you when you behave like that. No doubt about it. Making our mistakes is going to happen no matter what season we're in. We're human beings. I don't give you license to go choking people in public. I don't want you to do that. But if you do, you have a big God that sent his son to die on the cross for your sins. And that's one of them that's covered. Because there isn't any that is not covered. Hallelujah. So when we move into this time, this fall season, it's a time of great reaping. David moved into this time in his life, a time of reaping some of the things that he had sown. And he was tending the garden that God had given him. And he was acting wisely. And then when he continued to act wisely, there was a great harvest that came in his life. Now, David went through cycles that I'm telling you about, seasons in his life. He went from that fall into another winter in his life. He went through a difficult, difficult time where Saul was chasing him down in the wilderness. He was living in caves. in any place and every place. He finally decided the only place he was going to be safe was in the Philistines' camp, in their land. And he went into the Philistines. But even when he was there, God was with him. And he would go out pretending to be a member of the Philistine army and wipe out the Philistine camps. Kill all the Philistines. He didn't leave anybody alive because he didn't want any witnesses. And when he came back, he'd say, "You know what I've been doing today, King? I went up to Israel and I just tore them up, killed them right and left." In reality, he was doing God's work. I just want you to understand, no matter where you are in these seasons, God is with you. And your fall season, I believe that your fall season can be a huge time of reaping in your life. Reaping the seed that you have sown properly. But let me tell you something. For some of you, your fall season is not going to be a very pleasant time. Because when you sow bad seed, you're going to reap a negative harvest. We can put a stop to that. If you will cooperate with me and the Lord Jesus Christ, you can stop that bad harvest. But you've got to turn your heart to the Most High God and serve Him with all your heart, soul, and mind. And then begin to sow proper seed at the proper time and take care of it. And then you'll be looking forward to a positive reaping. A positive harvest in your life. And isn't that what we all want, is a good, positive, wonderful harvest?
Yes, sir.
No matter what it is, we want a good harvest. Stand with me. I believe that part of this prayer and fasting has been in order to reap a good, positive harvest in our life. And today, in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, I just proclaim goodness and harvest, positive harvest, good harvest upon this congregation. I give you, Father God, glory and honor for what you are doing in us, through us, and with us. Today, Father God, we recognize that there are seasons that we have to go through in this life. Sometimes it's not pleasant, but you are a mighty God, and you have promised us that all things work together for the good of those who love the Lord and are the called according to your purpose. Father God, I claim it. I am the called according to your purpose. Everyone in here that knows Jesus as a personal Savior are the called according to your purpose. Thank you, Lord God, that you are a rewarder of those who diligently seek after you. You have promised that you are going to reward us for seeking you and glorifying your name. Today, Father, we claim victory in Jesus' name and thank you for the goodness that you give to each one of us. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Praise God. Have a wonderful day. Hi, this is Pastor Rob Barber. Thanks for listening to our message today. We're excited about what God's doing here at Bethel Worship Center and in the body of Christ at large in 2012. If you'd like to learn more about the ministries here at Bethel, please visit our website at www.bethelwc.org. God bless you and have a great day.